folks, welcome to the Macabre Maidens podcast. We are some quirky sisters from up in Canada. We're not experts. We just want to share some interesting stuff with you guys. And today's story is a little bit older. Not a lot of people know about it. It's always just been kind of something I thought was a little strange. So here we are.
We hope you have a great morning, too. We're recording this at an ungodly hour in the morning for me, so.
Not used to being up this early, for sure.
So what are we talking about today, Shay?
So today, we're talking about Gavin Joseph Mandan. He was a 15-year-old, chubby-faced, you know, those round-rimmed glasses they had back in the early 90s. Cute kid, though. Like, he wasn't a bad-looking kid.
No, he was a cute kid.
Right? There's a little bit of a weird backstory to it, I guess, but he decided to ambush his entire family at their vacation home in Valley View here in Alberta.
I think it's important to note as well, Valley View has a population of 1,800 people.
Right? And it doesn't look like it has that many people. It's pretty small.
Like, 1,800, that's like a fraction of the city I live in.
Right? So, in 1991, on August 6th, like I said, he ambushed his entire family. First, he shot his stepfather, Maurice. He was 45. And then went on to murder his mother and his two sisters. His two sisters, he shot from not even an inch away. And then he... the order's really weird, but I guess then he cut open his mother's dress and her bra and underwear, drove his stepdad's body into some tall grass using an ATV, and then took the car that had his mother and sister's bodies in it and parked it in the bush. He then went into the home. He was there for a couple of days. He packed up his essentials, which apparently consisted of clothing, a cooler, two knives, a shotgun, and the rifle he had used in the shooting.
You know, necessities. The things a person needs to survive. Fuck food.
Right? No food, no water, just
money.
It's fine. No money, right? Oh, but side note, though, he did end up taking the family's copper color van, which is what he used as an escape vehicle. He was going to drive to St. Albert, which is where the family actually lived. The only reason police knew anything was happening was because they were concerned about his driving, so they pulled him over.
So a fun thing I read about that him getting pulled over was, like, it was a high-speed chase.
Right?
And they had to use a fucking, like, the strip belt to blow his tires out.
Right, and he's, like, this little 15-year-old kid. Like, I mean, and in the early 90s, like, that's crazy. Nowadays, because of video games and everything, right? Like, that's, 15-year-olds are like, oh, that might sound fun. But back then, like...
I don't know, man, like, that doesn't sound, like, just, it sounds terrifying.
Well, because your teenagers
I'm afraid
are stupid.
Of cops in general.
They're just
I don't
like,
know why.
Dude, dumb stuff.
They just freak me out. I'm sure, like, I have a couple cop friends, but they're terrifying.
Right?
And the thought of being in a high-speed chase and getting my tires blown out, like, ugh.
That sounds terrifying,
it
right?
Does.
Like, that sounds like not a good time. So once police had him in custody after the high-speed chase, he admitted to the shootings, and that's how everybody found out this crazy crime had actually happened.
So you know what's fucked up about this? I mean, there's a lot that's fucked up about this. But, like, his whole family was like, we're going on vacation, so much fun. And then this kid's like, yeah, and fucking murder. I'm gonna fucking murder you all. Like, his sisters were probably like, wow, summer by the lake. Or is there a lake in Valley View? I don't fucking know. And this kid's... and I'm gonna shoot you point blank.
Right? Like, not even an inch away. Here you go.
And, like, that's another thing. Like, why did he have to kill his sisters?
Well, there were quotes, apparently. Like, Gavin told the Edmonton Journal, which is where I got my information from. Gavin told the Journal in 1994, it doesn't make sense. At the time, the reasons seemed acceptable. Now I can't remember the reasons. However, he recalled being annoyed at having to do chores, feeling like a slave, and being disrespected by the entire attitude of the household.
Okay, so here's another thing. So this kid's 15.
And he killed his family because he was tired of doing chores.
Didn't want to do chores, but he just had to wait 3 more years. And then he's 18. And then he didn't have to do any fucking chores he didn't want to do.
Right?
But that's so messed up. And, like we're sisters, so... Like, it's a weird to think about, like, murdering. Like, don't get me wrong. We have a few siblings. I've fucking thought about killing every single one of you. But would I actually do it? Fuck no, because that's fucked up. And that's just, like, a sibling thing. But to think of, like, someone actually going out and to kill their family.
Like, to that extent.
Exactly. And it's such, like, a violent crime, you know what I mean?
Right. I guess he did also pack in amongst his stuff because he was a devoted reader and fierce science fiction fan. He also packed Ray Bradbury's A Graveyard for Lunatics. And on top of that, he was an average middle-class teen, 2 teacher parents. Both of his biological parents were teachers. And he had an IQ of 133, which is in the super intelligence range.
Man. So this, like, just makes me, like, it makes me wonder, was it a premeditated murder, or was it, like, a crime of passion? Was he just so fed up that he just killed everybody, or was he thinking about doing something like this for a while?
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, I guess he had a good relationship with his stepdad. His stepdad married his mom 5 years prior to the shooting. His parents divorced when he was really young. Everybody that was interviewed / gave any information said that he was normal. Like, things just... But with his IQ and the fact that it just kind of all laid out so easily, I feel like maybe it was like a crime of passion, but it had been on his mind for such a long time.
Man.
You know what I mean? Like, he might not have planned it,
but it was on his, like, in the back building of his mind. He's like, one day I'm just gonna snap and fucking kill my whole family.
Well, exactly. And, right? Like,
I was reading his sisters were 12 and 10. Like, that's so fucked up. I keep saying that, but it's fucked up.
It is fucked up. That's the thing, though. And the part about, like, cutting open his mother's dress and bra and underwear, because of that, a judge, when they released him back in 2013.
Yeah, or 2014 or something like that.
Yeah, they, told him that he has to report any relationships to the courts because of the violence against his mother and the unexplained, like, cutting open her dress and stuff shows resentment towards women.
Well, yeah, well, I was thinking about that, like, too. Like, to cut open your mother's dress, underwear, and bra and expose her, something like that, it makes you, like, think, like, what were his intentions behind that? Like, was he, like, did someone reject him? I just can't fathom that, you know what I mean?
Right, and, like, psychology says, technically, like, if in a crime like this, if there's one person that has a little bit more severe circumstances surrounding their death compared to the others in the group, generally that means that that was the target, or they were the intended, they were the ones that, like, they were the one that the person was mad at, like, so I'm half wondering if maybe his mom ran the household more than anything.
Maybe.
So, which would explain why they were like, you stay here, which is why he was left at the house to clean or something, right? Like, maybe he was left there to do chores, chop wood. Like, I don't know. And the rest of them went into town for shopping. Like, they went to go get stuff. So I'm not half wondering if maybe behind closed doors there was some stuff.
Well, that's the thing.
But there's nothing that I can find in any articles.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know what happened behind closed doors. You know what I mean?
Exactly, right?
Like, this, it could have been things that happened and he didn't want to admit to them because he had just murdered his whole family. I don't know. Maybe the guilt of murdering his family made him not want to admit things that happened. But, like, things like this don't happen for no reason, right?
Well, and that's the thing, is, like, every article that I've read, it just seems like he just snapped. There was a quote that he gave somebody about when he killed his sisters. It was something about he went from the front of the vehicle after shooting his stepdad, and the gun just swung around, and he had no intentions of killing his sister, and then he pulled the trigger.
Mm.
But how do you do that twice?
I guess when you're in, like, a blind rage, right? Have you ever been so mad that you just black out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to talk about it, but usually other things are involved, though, whether it be, like, drugs or alcohol or, like, most of the time you don't just get that mad.
I don't, but, like, you know what I mean? The general public does it, you know what I mean?
But if there is something wrong with how your brain's wired.
Exactly.
And, I mean, maybe there was something else going on. He was in the super intelligence range, and it was before they did, like, in-depth autism testing.
That's very, very true. I was reading, though, apparently he's quoted saying, like, remorse has always been a challenge for him, and, like,
That's what I mean. Like, he knows that he did it, and he's willing to admit to it, but he doesn't really feel bad about it, because, like,
which
I said,
is psychotic.
Right? Well, he just said, at the time, the reasons seemed acceptable. Now I don't even remember the reasons. Like, what?
That's like the lack of remorse is psychotic.
Right?
He,
and then everything else added up. It's just, it doesn't pan out to a sane human being, for sure.
No. I mean, at 15, he spent more than, like, half of his life in prison.
Right? And then when you get out at that point, and because the world's so different, like, I have friends younger than me who consistently get put back in jail because they don't know how to function outside of it.
Well, exactly. He's been, like, in the 90s, and he got released, what was it, 2016 is when he actually got released?
Something, yeah.
The world has changed so much, even in, like, everything from technology to the food we eat to the way we interact. Like, he has no idea.
Well, and, like, that's the thing. Like, I was born in 91, and I remember 2016. Like, it wasn't that long ago.
No.
Like, and I was outside of prison to watch, be there for all of that change. And it just, there's days that I'm like, what is happening? Where are we? What are we doing?
Right?
So.
I know, what year was it? I think it was in 2013 or 2012, he was a candidate for parole, and,
yeah.
It was, like, he worked. Where did he work? Sorry, I have jot notes everywhere.
I know. That's why the other day I was like, I just gotta clean mine up.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. So he told police after being arrested that it was just anger building up over the years, and the opportunity came up.
An opportunity to kill his whole family.
Yeah, he was in the family home, saw the rifle, and decided, why not?
Mm.
Right?
So he fired 10 times until he was out of bullets. Like, that's a consistent shot, like, shooting.
Yeah, I wanna say that was when he shot his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said, the order is really weird. I can't exactly pin it down in the articles that I've read. But from what I gather, he came out of the house, ambushed his stepdad, then went around the side of the car, shot his two sisters, and then unloaded the rest on his mom. But, like, that would have to happen so fast for his mom to not get involved, for his sisters to not get out of the car. Like,
well, he could have just, like, shot after shot after shot. But then again, I don't know if you've ever shot a 22. Usually, you have to reload.
Pump it or reload it. Or, yeah, like, there's time.
Yeah. And, like, usually, like, the 22 I use personally, you have to, like, individually put bullets in and reload it.
Right. So, again, like, I've never seen the rifle that he used. I didn't try to read too much on it. But, like, logically, like, I just don't know. That's the strangest thing. I just don't, like, picturing it. Like, you can't, it just doesn't make sense. Unless, like, his sisters and his mom were just in so much shock that they were like, just stay here, it's safer.
But here's the thing. Imagine sitting there, you're in a car, say it's me, you, Mom, and Ez. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ez gets shot. I would freeze instantly.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I was saying, like, maybe it was shock. Maybe, you know, it would almost make more sense if he took out the parents first, and then his sisters were like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. And, like you said, froze.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, at 12 and 10, I wouldn't know what to do.
Well, exactly. And, like, even the mom at that point, like, you just watched your 15-year-old son come out of your vacation home and shoot your husband. Like, that's insane. But, apparently, he became a born-again Christian shortly after incarceration, and he was rebaptized while in custody at the Edmonton Young Offender Center.
Mm.
So, he didn't even go, like, straight to, like, jail. He went to, like, the Young Offender Center.
Well, yeah, because he's 15, you can't legally, I think at that
time.
But
you killed 3 people. You can be tried as an adult for that.
I don't think you can be till you're at least 16.
16, really? I didn't look that up.
I'm almost, I don't, like, don't quote
well,
me
that's
on this.
When you can get emancipated. Well, no, but that's when you can get emancipated and move out on your own and stuff, so that would make sense.
Yeah, I believe at 16 is when you can be tried as an adult, so that would probably be why he went to the Young Offenders, because he wasn't legally able to be tried as an adult.
Yeah.
Which is still so fucked up.
But, like, that's the thing. No, because here, he pleaded guilty to 4 counts of second-degree murder and was sentenced as an adult to life in prison, no parole, minimum of 10 years. So he was tried as an adult, I just don't think they could put him with the adults.
Which is fair.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to put a 15-year-old kid with adults in prison.
Well, and not only that, but after the violence he did to his mom, like, he wouldn't have made it in an adult prison.
Well, no. I mean, I just, that's the other thing with the mom. Like, I'm really having a hard time grasping that aspect of it. Like, why he would do something like that. And, like, there's many different theories that are going through my mind right now. Like, usually, like, would you consider that, like, you'd consider that, like, a sexual assault, would you not?
Yeah. That would be a sexual assault. But it's also, oh, I lost the word. I just had a really good word. I'm sorry, I had a sip of water.
That's okay.
yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Like, people who usually assault people have been assaulted.
Well, exactly. Or they at least are very... Like, you can tell because there's a pattern. Like, there's tells that you can pick up on. That would kind of hint that he had that kind of stuff going through his mind. But again, like, for the people that they interviewed from him growing up, they all said he was a normal kid. Like,
I'm no psychologist or anything, so if there's a psychologist listening right now, and you can explain to me why someone would do this to their mom, that would be fantastic. Because
right?
I just can't,
like,
get it.
Well, and like I said earlier, like, unless it was she had a harder hand, she ran the household type thing, and that was, in his eyes, the cause of his pain. But, like, I can't speak for him. He doesn't, from what I see, give too terribly many interviews about the situation.
Yeah, like, and, like, I don't know. Like, he was a cute kid, but I'm saying that as an adult. Maybe there was, like, girls in high school that weren't the nicest to him. And then his mom wasn't nice. Sense. Now he just doesn't like women or something. Because I know there's an article, or a piece of an article talking about how he might have trouble handling rejection.
Oh, yep. That would make sense. Is it part of his, like, criminal profile?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would make sense, because, like, if you watch, like, most crime shows, right, when there's extreme violence or, like, a sexual act like that when it comes to killing a woman or something, or, like, depending on the brutality of it, a lot of the time they'll say that, like, maybe he has a problem talking to women, maybe he's got a problem with rejection. And like I said, like, he wasn't a bad-looking kid, but for the early 90s with the wire round-rim glasses, and
he was a sci-fi fan, obviously.
He was a huge sci-fi fan, right? So, like, he was that nerd in school that girls didn't want to talk to, probably.
It's very possible, and, like, it's just... Here's the thing. I was, like, a nerdy kid in high school, too, but I wouldn't resort... Like, I guess that's where... That begs the question, is it nature over nurture, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've grown up with similar circumstances. Like, our mom, she made us do fucking chores. Would I kill her for it? No. I was bullied in high school and rejected. Would I kill someone for it? No. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the thing, is... If it was just a spur-of-the-moment crime and he saw an opportunity and took it, then it's kind of just he snapped. He was 15. His brain wasn't fully developed in that area. But with an IQ of 133...
That's where we differ.
It kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. I was not in the genius intelligence range. I was super picked on in high school. And if anything, I just fought with suicide. Like, suicide was a big part of my teenage years.
Yeah, like, internal struggles, but I didn't...
But I didn't snap and threaten to kill people all the time, or shoot anybody. Like, yeah, me and you had some spats when we were kids, and there were a few times I got, like, violent, but...
I got violent, too, but that's just sisters, you know what I mean? I feel like what we had was almost like a natural sister rivalry.
Sibling rivalry. Yeah. Yeah. But it just... At what point in his family did that change? You know what I mean? Like, he did say that he didn't intend on shooting his sisters, and then it just happened.
Yeah.
But how does that happen from not even an inch away? You know what I mean? If it's, you just swung the gun around and you're like, oh, I'm gonna shoot you too, you would think that you would be a little bit farther away.
I don't know. Like, maybe in the heat of the moment, he was like, I can't have witnesses, because obviously he was trying to get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, of course. Bye, Mom! Bye, baby!
Hey, Mom!
1 second, baby!
It's my nephew, listeners.
Yeah, right. He's a sweetheart.
I don't know if you can hear my cat meowing or purring either, but she is here.
Yeah, after he was arrested, he confessed to the murders. He also told police he was planning on heading to St. Albert, where he would then proceed to travel north, where no one could find me.
Okay.
Is the quote that he gave to police after he was arrested.
So you just shot your mom and stepdad, and even the stepdad first, and you're like, I don't want to go to prison, so I have to kill everybody.
Yeah. Right? Like...
You know what I mean?
I don't know, it just doesn't...
Like,
clearly there was enough planning that he was like, well, and I can do this, and I can go, and I can do this.
I mean...
But like I said, like, when he packed his stuff, like, he didn't pack exactly what he needed, and he was gonna go home to St. Albert before fully taking off, so maybe he intended on picking up more supplies at home, but I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he obviously was trying to get away with it. I feel like that's why, you know, that's why he murdered everybody, was because the more witnesses you have, the more likely you are to get caught, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, as for, like, planning, based on the things that he took with him, I don't think he planned very much. I don't think this was, like, I, now talking about it more, do not think this was premeditated. I do think it was, like, a crime of passion. Or he would have had, like, a bag ready to go.
Well, exactly. And like he said, he thinks it's just all the anger built up over the years. And then finally, he saw the opportunity and took it.
I mean, this is going to sound horrible. I'm playing the devil's advocate here. I'm having a little bit of sympathy for this kid because he's 15, right? So obviously something's wrong with this kid. He's 15. Imagine, I'm just going to assume because he doesn't know why he did it. It was almost like a blackout rage. So you're 15, you blackout, kill your whole family, come out of it. They're all dead. Freak out and try to run.
But it's not even to that though. Like, he tried to cover it up. He dragged his stepdad's body behind an ATV, a four-wheeler, a quad, and dragged it off into some tall summer grass, and then took the car that he had just killed his sisters and his mom in and drove it into the woods,
I guess. But I mean,
like, it was enough that he tried to cover it up. Like, if you would think, if you just come out of a blackout rage, like, yeah, there's part of you that might cover it up, but you would just panic and run.
I guess. I don't know.
Like, and that's the thing. At 15, you don't know. And the fact that it was in 91, and he doesn't really talk about it, like,
I mean, when,
I don't think we'll ever know.
When I was 15, I made some, I was a fucking stupid kid. I didn't have good decisions. I did not make good decisions at all. And, like, I don't, like, I guess you can't know unless you're in that situation, but I feel like what I wouldn't do, like, I would be very similar to what this guy did, you know what I mean? I'd be like, shit, gotta hide the evidence, because you're 15.
Well, exactly, and you don't want to go to jail, but at the same time, what 15-year-old goes, okay, what's the best way to cover this up? What's the best way to hide this? Most kids would just be like, oh shit, and leave.
But this kid was also smart.
But, like, yeah.
He was,
I guess.
Smart, and smart enough to know that he should cover his tracks. Did he do it well? No. But he sure gave his best effort.
Well enough that the police had no idea anything was wrong until they arrested
him. But, I mean, keep in mind, this happened in Valley View with a population of 1800.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing, is I'm assuming it's not right in town. Because it's a vacation home, I'm assuming it's out of town. Or, because Valley View is decently rural itself.
Yeah, and I mean, if they were on vacation, no one would be expecting them home for a while.
Right.
So.
And, like, the neighbors probably, you know, like, oh, they're vacationing, we don't go check on them. Like, we don't need to go check their house, we don't need to, they're there, like.
Exactly. So it would probably take a few weeks after they were supposed to come home, or probably not a few weeks after, probably a couple of days after they were supposed to come home, for people to be like, oh shit, they're not home.
They didn't return to work. They didn't return to school. They didn't da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
Another thing about this
story, or like a family member would have called or something, or, right?
Yeah, something like that. Another thing about this story that just, like, really pisses me off was his annoyance with, like, his chores.
Right? Like, that's the thing, is when he was, like, the article, however, he recalled being annoyed at having to do chores and feeling like a slave and being disrespected by the entire attitude of the household. Like,
here's the thing, boy, you're 15. Nobody has to respect you. I mean,
right?
They don't, like, that's your parents. You're supposed to respect them. You do your fucking chores. You do it till you're 18, then you can fuck off.
Right? And, like, of course your sisters are gonna annoy the piss out of you. They're fucking
10 and
5 and 7 years younger than you.
Right?
3 and 5 years younger than you. Sorry, I can't math.
That's okay.
But, like,
do you remember how much I annoyed the piss out of you?
Oh my god, dude.
Exactly. That's what little sisters do. That's what little siblings do. We just annoy the shit out of people.
Right?
And you do chores because that's what you do.
It turns you into a functioning adult. If you don't do your chores, then you're not gonna translate that into your adult life. Your house is gonna be a disaster. It's not pretty.
I personally don't know a single fucking person that didn't have to do chores when they were a kid.
Right?
And, like, just, like, with his nonchalantness about this, I don't think it was, like, crazy chores, you know what I mean? Like, his mom was,
that's,
like,
the thing. If anything, it was, like, take the garbage out. sweep the floor.
Yeah, do the dishes, vacuum. And he's like, I feel like a fucking slave.
Well, and that's kind of where I was, like, maybe half wondering if, like, because lots of other cases where there's violence against the mother, or matricide, if you will, at all, it's usually because they think the mother deserved it, right? Yeah. So first you kill a stepdad because that gets him out of the way. You kill your sisters because they'll rat you out, and your target's actually your mom. So, like I said, with the brutality, the sexual assault against her, I'm half wondering if maybe she was really hard on him, and there was a reason he was at the house instead of in town shopping with the rest of the family.
So I just thought of something as well. So he was the oldest and had two younger sisters. Mm-hmm. Maybe they put more weight on him because he was the oldest and a man.
Yeah. And it's the 90s.
It's the 90s.
Things were very, very pink job, blue job.
Exactly. So maybe there was, like, just more on him, and they expected him to be, you know, like, it's kind of like that toxic masculinity, like, man up and go do this, and it was too much for
him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Bury your feelings. You're a man. Men don't cry.
Exactly. Like, maybe he didn't have an outlet, and he did feel like a slave. He felt trapped. Like, he had no one to talk to because he would be told that it wasn't right for him to feel bad or feel like a slave.
Well, and that's the thing. Maybe lots in his life he was told. Oh, okay. Oh, there we go. Apparently, I can just hit the unpause button.
Yes.
I was trying to record. I'm like, why isn't it working?
All right, where were we?
I'm actually not 100% sure. Oh, we were talking about how he might have actually just literally been like a product of the times, kind of, how very pink job, blue job the 90s was, and how he was probably expected to do more.
Absolutely. And I also found this quote from him when he said, people kept coming up to me and saying, why? I look back and I think I was just a pretty screwed up kid, an egotistic power maniac. So maybe he just felt like he didn't have any power, and he wanted to put that out on someone. He wanted to feel powerful.
I could understand that, like, in a way, you know. There's probably definitely lots of reasons. Like, I pulled some of the shit on you that I pulled growing up, right? And it's a power play. Like, I'm the older sister. I'm, right? But
yeah.
At what point does that line get crossed where he's like, okay, so instead of picking on my sisters or disobeying my mom or, I don't know what the 90s were like for kids and drinking and stuff, but, like, I know I started drinking when I was, like, 15. So, yeah. Like, although we don't condone that. We don't condone that, kids.
Do not drink at 15.
Do not drink at 15. Age. It is a bad idea. But, like, and that's kind of why I was wondering, like, maybe there were drugs, but he, with an IQ of 133, I don't see that being a thing, because if you hear about other, like, serial killers and stuff, a lot of the time, when it comes to that blackout and that power play, that, I don't know what happened, drugs or alcohol are involved. But like you said, if you're mad enough, and like maybe with the IQ that he had, his brain just was like, nope, too much. Done. Like, I don't know.
Like, and that's another thing, because I know in the 90s, and once again, do not condone this, people were probably drinking at a younger age, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing.
Maybe, because you said his parents were teachers.
Yes.
The likelihood of him being allowed to go to a party and allowed to do anything would be very minimal.
Right, and so, like, maybe that was another thing. Like, maybe he felt literally trapped.
Yeah. And if his parents were teachers, they probably pushed schoolwork above everything else.
Oh, of course, right? And that would explain, like, why he was so smart and why he was such a passionate reader. Like, one of the quotes that I found said, like, I changed it from my notes because I didn't want it to be, like, plagiarized, but one of the quotes had to do with that he loved to read, and he was a huge science fiction fan. You know, like, that creativity, that imagination that comes with science fiction is also a brain stimulant. Like, you have to use your imagination. Yeah, the words are there, but you still have to piece it together, right? Which is why reading is so important. It makes you use your brain. But I don't know. It just... homework? Chores? Like, those are all things that kids go through.
Absolutely. But that's, like, the, once again, where I mentioned, like, nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we... I feel like we're raised, like, in... not the same as Mandan was, but similar. Like, we had chores. Mom worked fucking hard to, like...
she was hard on us sometimes. We needed.
And she was hard on us sometimes, and I'll never, ever, like, regret her doing that, because it made me a functioning adult.
Right.
And, like, don't run. There have been times me and Mom got in screaming matches. I didn't want to do what she wanted me to do. But I wouldn't kill her, and I think that's a brain difference, you know what I mean? That there's something psychologically different between us and, like, the normal society and people that have the ability to kill their whole family.
Well, exactly. When it comes down to... because... yeah, it's crazy, and I'm half wondering, because he was a good kid, there was no, like, signs of him being, like, a serial killer or anything like that that we know of, right? So...
but here's the thing, most serial killers don't. Serial killers, I guess this kid, he's not technically a serial killer either.
No, he is technically a, like, spree killer.
A murderer.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, premeditated, it's not, like, he doesn't have, like, a...
he doesn't. Well, no, and that's why I use the word spree, is because that's kind of like a spur-of-the-moment type situation, right?
Yeah, sorry, I lost my train of thought for a minute.
Algae.
Oh, God, what was I talking about?
Nature versus nurture.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Sorry.
It's okay.
fuck. I lost my train of thought again.
That's the difference between a serial killer and what happened here is...
no. Fuck. Hold on, I'll come back to it. Let's talk about something else for a minute and then I'll think of it. Anyway. So in 2009, he applied for parole, his first parole hearing, for, to be able to, like, be let out on his own, which was approved, and he does have a low risk of reoffending, which is good.
Well, because he's owned up and admitted that he knows that what he did was wrong, he just doesn't feel bad about it.
And see, here's another thing, I have such remorse for this person, and it shouldn't, because he killed his whole family. But
at the same time, you're like, you poor kid, you're broken, like...
exactly, and that's a problem with our system, too, right?
Mm-hmm, no, for sure.
I mean, I'm sure it's better now, but in the 90s, it wasn't better.
Well, mental health, anything in the 90s was still very taboo. Like, there were women that were still, like, getting locked up for being hysterical. Like, it just depends on what level you were on.
Absolutely. So, I mean... like, I do feel for him. I wonder if he maybe had, like, a proper outlet, if things would have been different for him.
Right? Or, but, like, that's the thing. We don't know if his parents tried to ever put him in sports or an extracurricular activity or, like, you know, like, a hobby other than his reading. Like, we don't know. There was an ATV on the property. Like, clearly he could, well, we don't know if he was allowed to use it, but he knew how to use it. So, you know, like, you would think that there was stuff to do. They lived in St. Albert, so it's not like he was isolated. It's not like they lived out in Valley View. So...
I don't, like, that's another, like, And I'm assuming his parents had money.
I would assume so, because, like, it was a vacation home, right? Unless so it was maybe, like, inherited.
I can only assume that they just held, like, an unrealistic expectation of him, and it was too much, and he had no way to, like, let it out, and he snapped.
Right, and that would make the most sense, it just at the same time, because, again, though, behind closed doors, you never actually know, right? Because, like I said, neighbors and stuff said he was a normal kid. Teachers that taught him said he was normal. little weird, but he was fine. Like, super smart. And, like, I think that's kind of what gets me, is, like, you were so smart. So smart. You could have done anything. Anything with your life. And because of this,
exactly. He ruined his whole life.
Well, like, that's exactly it. And because of this, you spent 10 years in prison. Like, you spent just as long in prison as you did as a functioning human being. Like, because, you know, when you're a toddler and stuff, you're kind of just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, exactly.
By the time you're 5 and you're in school, they're trying to teach you, sit, write your name. This is a routine. This is, right? So he spent as long in prison as he did as a functioning human, like, as a functioning human being.
And that's sad.
Right? Like, it's crazy to think about that. Like, how do you get out of prison and just, like, oh, everything's normal?
Like, I will forever have sympathy for this kid, I think. Like, don't get me wrong, I think he's a monster.
And there's better ways to do things.
But I feel for him.
Right, and, like, that's the thing. A lot of these cases, so many of them, like, whether it be a one-time offense like this, or serial killers, or, you know, like, I don't know, like, just even, like, the really out there people, sometimes, if you look back into their history, you're like, oh my god, like, I feel so bad for you. How did that happen? Like, how did people let that happen to you? And it's a mixture of the times / like the bystander effect. Oh, well, if I see it, somebody else sees it, so somebody else will report it, right? Like,
yeah.
And unfortunately, so much stuff, like, so many of these people fall through the cracks because people are like, oh, well, not my problem. And then it turns into a big problem.
So I know Mandon was imprisoned in Ontario. And from my understanding, he's actually not allowed back into Alberta.
That's awesome. Sorry, that's just funny.
Yeah, because from what I read, he's not allowed to, like, be near his family.
That's fair, because I think I read in an article somewhere that his family doesn't want anything to do with him.
Well, I mean, can you blame them?
No, not really, but, well, because you'd be worried that he'd snap again, right? Like, what if it was his niece that was in the room with him, or blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
A grandma, or...
So to quote the Edmonton Journal, since receiving day parole in 2012, Mandon has been working as a provider of remote IT support. His supervisor described him as a fantastic employee with great work ethic. He has been living in a community residential facility where he repeatedly won extended weekend passes to his own apartment. Mandon has an active social life, says in his parole documents. So that, like, makes me think as well, like, this guy can obviously rehabilitate himself.
Well, and, like, that comes with probably the IQ of it too, right? Like, he's like, oh, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. How do I make it better? But on that note, how much of that is just, if I keep my mouth shut and don't say anything?
He is, like, that's another, like, anyway, that's what I was saying before. Psychopaths, they can manipulate their emotions.
Well, and that's the thing, like, he's super smart. All it takes is him, and, like, I think that's why remorse is so hard for me. He doesn't own the remorse because he's not actually upset, or he hasn't actually learned his lesson. He's just saying he needs to so that he can get out, right?
Like, well, and that's the thing. Like, let's look at Ted Bundy, for instance.
Oh my god, yeah.
Well, he was charismatic. Like, no one ever thought he would do something like that. He thought everything was perfect. They thought he was handsome, blah, 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 blah.
When he worked at the...
fucking psychopath.
Right? When he worked at the suicide hotline, like, the suicide prevention line, they used to pick up, like, they were... his coworkers would, like, pick on him and be like, oh, that sounds like your car. Oh, buddy, like, that sounds like you, da-da-da-da-da-da. And lo and fucking behold, it was him. Like...
like, I don't know, I feel like psychopaths have the ability, like, it's, I don't think, I know, like, they can manipulate people's perceptions of them.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Like, easily. So, like, he is described as an fantastic employee with great work ethic, and he has an active social life, but is it because he's rehabilitated or because he's a psychopath?
Right, because he's actually genuinely better now. I don't know. I'm sorry, folks.
But like,
about
it
the
says,
young.
Like, his it's, lack it's, of remorse it's was a reoccurring feature in his parole hearings.
Yes.
So maybe he, like, it says there's a gradual and steady change. So maybe he, you know, fake it till you make it kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, how much of it was just a yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. But they can tell that he doesn't actually feel bad about it. It's kind of like one of those smile and nod situations, right?
Yeah, like if I say the right things.
Then I can get it.
I would love to talk to this guy, because I have no fucking idea, like, what's going through his mind.
Well, and that's the thing, is, like, there hasn't been too very many interviews or anything. Is he gave one to the Edmonton Journal, like, back in the day, but nothing new. But, I mean, it's 2020. If he was released in 2016, like, there's lots of articles about him being released.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say anything about, like, he doesn't give very many interviews on it, like, where he's at now mentally and stuff like that. Like, all he says is that he doesn't know why he did it. Like,
it is important to note that he has changed his name as well.
Oh, yes, he's taken on his bio dad's names, and it's Gavin Ian McLean now. McLean?
Yes.
McLean?
McLean. yeah, I don't know. It's a weird case. Like, most, I just want to know why. Like, that's the main question that's bubbling in my head.
Right?
Especially because this is, like, so close to home, right? Like, you grew up in, High Prairie. Or no.
Hinds Creek a little bit, yeah.
Hinds Creek, yeah. Which is relatively close to Valley View, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's kind of. You remember when Mom used to drop me off in White Court?
Yeah.
You go through Valley View to get up to Hinds Creek and to Grand Prairie, technically. It's Valley View is between White Court and Grand Prairie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, yes, I've been through there a lot. My car accident was right between Valley View and Grand Prairie. So, I do know the area. I have friends there. But, again, it's one of those things that when you drive through Valley View, you would never expect something like this to have happened just on the outskirts or wherever their summer home was. Like, it's still so hard for me to picture him getting 10 shots off with a rifle and nobody saying or doing anything about it. But then I always remember how remote, I guess, Valley View is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he wasn't right in town, neighbors are not within spitting distance.
Like, also, like, I'm from, or my dad is, like, from Merrithorpe country. There's gunshots all the time. People hunting.
Well, that's the thing.
Fucking doing shit.
And if you're not in town, nobody's going to think anything of it.
Exactly. It also interests me, like, just the sheer, like, so murder, I'm from the city. Murders happen. Like, you hear about it and you're like, oh yeah, that's a murder that happened.
Right?
But in, like, a small town like Valley View, like, that must have been huge news for them.
Well, and that's the thing, like, for a 15-year-old to kill his entire family, well, his immediate family, and then, like, fuck off like that, like, that's gotta be quite the case for a town like Valley View. Like you said, there's 1,800 people.
And, like, you think about it, too. Who found these bodies? Was it Joe Blow down the street? Was it an RCMP officer doing parole? Someone.
He told them when he was arrested after his high-speed chase, he told the police where he could find the bodies, or they could find the bodies of his family.
All right. Well, the police found the bodies then. But still, it must have been just shocking for this town. It must have been, like, the news, you know what I mean? Like, there was a murder here. That's crazy.
Well, exactly. And I remember, like I said, like, I was born in 91, so I didn't hear about this case until when I first started doing planning for the podcast. I was looking up, like, unheard of cases here in Alberta just so we could, like, kind of do something relatively local. And, you know, yeah, like, I got a lot of the Dexter killer, and I got, what's her face, the Rocky Mountain house, her and her boyfriend killed her parents and her little brother, and I got stuff like that. But when this case came across in an article, I was like, what did I just read? Like, because I had no idea this happened. None. And like I said, I used to go through Valley View all the time. My dad lives in the relative area. Your dad lives in the relative area. Like, his family lived in that area. You know, like, yeah. If you're thinking about that area, we hear a lot of, like, Jimmy Roscoe. Hey, Mom. Those kinds of cases. But 1 minute, buddy. I'll fix it.
Or even, like, you remember when those three cops got killed in Marathon?
Jimmy Roscoe, yeah.
That I heard of constantly.
Right.
Given I was born in 96, and that happened in the early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So I heard a lot about that. My family lives in Marathorpe, is a big thing, but I have never heard about this guy.
Right? That's the thing, is, like, and for it to be a teenager who offed his entire family, like, how do you grow up in a province as small? Like, it's not super small, but Alberta is by far not the biggest province in Canada.
Like our population is, the whole population of Canada isn't very large, if anybody's wondering.
Right.
But Alberta is, doesn't, actually, let's do a quick Google.
All right, Tammy Jo's going to do a Google.
Population of Alberta. Just call me Tammy Jo.
Oh, I did. Ooh. Out of habit. We can, right?
That's what mom tells me when she's mad.
I am a mom.
So in 1991, the population of Alberta was only 2.59 million.
For an entire province.
And they're, like, fucking big-ass provinces.
Right? Like, Ontario is way bigger than us. Way, way bigger than us. And you can tell that by their cities and stuff like that. Like, Toronto is disgusting. Disgustingly huge.
Yeah, so here's for retrospect. So, Alberta in 1991 had around 2 million, yeah?
Yeah.
Ontario in 1991 had 10.4 million people.
Gross. That is way too many people. But the land space, that province, like, they are a bigger province.
But, I mean, the entire population of Canada is, like, I think the state of California has more people than the entire population of Canada.
Oh my god.
And California is, like, pretty little in, like, retrospective size of places, you know what I mean?
Right, like, and so we have that population spread over an entire country. They have that population in one state.
Back to the main point, it's a big deal in small towns when murders happen.
Right?
I guess it's the same anywhere, though, you know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. It just must have been such a crazy thing to have happen for these guys.
Well, exactly, and then for it to just not be talked about again until, like, 25 years later when he was released.
When they do, like, a, 25 years since this happened. I mean, here's the thing, though. We weren't alive during that time. Or I wasn't even a fucking thought
at
that time.
I also had not been born yet. I was born in 91, but not before August.
Yeah, December of 91.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, 91, it was a big deal. And I'm assuming it was. Like, it was probably talked about a lot at the time.
Right.
But you don't, like, hear about it nowadays.
Well, and, like, that's the thing, is, like, why would we let a case like this just die out like that? It's a crazy case. It's an insane read. People should know about stuff like this.
Because there's bigger, more...
crazier things happening.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, this was a big deal at the time, but then as time progresses, you get crazier things, you know? You get serial killers that happen. And there's, not a lot in Canada. So when they do happen, it's like, wow, that's insane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because, you know, like, time, stuff builds up, people forget about stuff. In a town like Valley View, I'm sure it's not talked about all the time, because it's probably a little bit taboo. Like, it's a small town, we don't talk about that here. It's like when you have that weird uncle, like, people just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And then when he was released, everybody was like, oh my god, no, you can't do that, you can't release him. He killed his entire family.
I don't know, like, that's another thing. Like, when you're 15 and you spend 10 years in prison, I feel like he deserves a chance at life, you know what I mean?
Well, no, 100%. Again, it's just one of those, people dropped it so fast. Like, this is a case I didn't hear about growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So people dropped it really fast, so, like, that's gonna be easier for him to kind of move forward, because not everybody's gonna be like, oh, you're that guy. Oh, you're that guy, like, all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird. I do I do think he deserves a chance at life. And I'm usually not one who's pro-religion, but if religion can make helps someone him. Better, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if that's his outlet that helps him be a better person, fucking awesome. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I know at near the end of it, it was, like, the parole board had said that he had come to understand that his mother was a generally loving person and didn't deserve to die.
Yeah, see, so that's why I'm wondering if maybe she was just, like, really hard on him, and then as and maybe it was a very matriarchal family, like, she was kind of the head of the household, right?
Yeah. And he didn't take it well.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I feel like this was just a messed up kid who did an awful thing, but he doesn't deserve to rot in jail forever if he can rehabilitate himself, you know what I mean? Like, I'm always pro-rehabilitation.
Well, exactly, and if he was... I mean, I feel a little differently if he would have done it as an adult. Because, like I said, at 15, stuff's not fully there yet. You're not... I said and did some stupid stuff at 15. That I wouldn't do today, right? So it's one of those things that it sucks. He made a mistake, and yeah, he deserves a chance to prove that he's not that person. But at the same time, like, I also feel that the lengths that they're going to for his probation, and that he has to check in with a worker and he has to report any relationships that he has, like, I think those are all very good standards that he has to follow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. But, yeah, I just hope that he doesn't reoffend. Figure it out.
Yeah.
And that, you know, one day he can have a happy life.
Well, and that's, isn't that kind of what you hope for really anybody that's willing to admit they made a mistake and move forward? As long as it doesn't happen again, because, you know, like Mom used to say, sorry's just an excuse for you to do it again.
Exactly. Oh, you know what's funny? I still use that to this day.
Me too.
We grew up to be our mother.
Right. But it's true, though. You can say sorry all you want, but unless you don't do it again, sorry doesn't apply. So let's just keep our fingers crossed and that, you know, it was just a one-off. He was young. He made a mistake.
But yeah, I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about on this case. So, anything else?
No, that's pretty much everything. If any of our listeners can give us some insight on any of that kind of stuff, for sure, give us a shout. This is probably going to be a little bit of a disclaimer. It's going to be a rough first episode. Neither of us have done this before. So
bear with us. It can only get better with time.
And practice, right?
And practice. You know, it's hard to talk.
And to plus we're in quarantine, 3 hours away from each other.
Oh, yeah. And technology is not being our friend today.
No, not today.
But yeah, if any of our listeners, comment below. Tell us what you think about this story. Tell us any stories you might want us to research on and talk about. We're completely open to that stuff.
Yeah, we also don't just do, like, true crime and stuff. If you have, like, some crazy, like, ghost stories or some crazy, just, like, weird facts about stuff, tell us. We want to know.
Yeah, we could do, like, Monday Weird Fact Day. Who the fuck knows? Whatever y'all want to listen to, we'll do it. We're here for you, the people.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, we're here to please you. Also, you can
check out... Exactly. you can check out our website, www.themacabremaidens.com. Feel free to join our virtual book club. This month we are doing Intensity by Dean Koontz.
It's a crazy read, guys. I had to put it down a couple of days ago just because...
Chapter one, even... you'll be like...
Yeah, blew my mind. And, like, I'm a mom, and we were, you know, doing some stuff. But, like, it's so good so far, guys.
Yeah. Also, check out our... we have a Twitter now. You can check out our Twitter. Ooh. You can check out our Instagram, all the same name, The Macabre Maidens. And we look forward to recording for you next week.
Yes, and next week's case is... there's a lot.
It's fucking wild.
It's crazy. I'm gonna throw a little bit of a disclaimer in there. It is an LGBTQ case. So if you are sensitive to that category of stuff, then here's a little bit of a warning. We will also at the beginning of the episode do a little bit of a disclaimer about that, because then if you're sensitive to crimes against that community or crimes involved in that community, then you can choose to not listen to that episode.
Also, in general, I feel like we're kind of like an 18 plus channel, but with that episode particularly, I definitely don't recommend listening around children.
Yes, and maybe that's a disclaimer we're going to have to do at the beginning of most of our episodes, that this is a podcast that's not necessarily geared towards children, so that will be something we will incorporate.
But yeah, next episode specifically, anyone who's very sensitive, you know, and doesn't like to be upset should probably not listen.
Yeah, and if you can't sometimes take a joke with some of the harsher things that we will be discussing.
Jesus Christ.
Because unfortunately for me and Tammy, it is something when we run into something we're not super comfortable with, we kind of laugh. And it's not that we're laughing at the case or at the victim or anything that happened. Just we grew up together and that's one of our coping mechanisms. We... 1 minute, baby.
I mean,
Chase's mom.
Yeah, I never want to make light of a murder case, you know what I mean? I try not to anyway, but I laugh at inappropriate times and make jokes, and I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
But yeah, so we look forward to seeing you guys next week. We're gonna dip out and do our editing. I gotta make some breakfast for the monster that's running around that you guys have been able to... Mom!
He's a cute kid.
He is. I'm lucky.
Alrighty, we hope you guys have a great week.
Yes, and we will check in with you next.